We continue our learning. We begin Maseches Pesachim, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph. Now, this Mishnah is going to discuss the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz. Bedikas Chametz is a din d'rabbanan. The Torah does not speak about checking for Chametz. The Torah speaks about destroying Chametz, the positive commandment of that Ach Bayom HaRishon, which Yom HaRishon refers to Erev Pesach, actually. Tashbisu Seor Mibateichem. We have to get rid of the chametz from our home. That is a debate. Machlokas Rishonim, what Tashbisu means. There are those who claim that Tashbisu means Tevatlin, you have to nullify the chametz. And others who claim, no, that Tashbisu means you destroy the chametz. And we'll see later on in the Masechta, do I destroy through burning or maybe through some other means? But Bidika, which is what I do before the burning of the chametz, so what purpose does that serve? So Rashi says, the beginning of the Masechta, it serves, it protects a person from violating the negative prohibition of what we call Bal Yera and Bal Yimatzeh, the fact that I'm not permitted to own chametz. One is something unique to the prohibition of chametz. You have chametz, it's Asr Ba'achila and Asr Ba'ana. You can't eat it, you can't derive benefit, but you also can't own it. That's something unique to the mitzvah of chametz, and this may be an example of a siyug de oraisa, where the Torah itself is afraid you're going to eat it and you're going to be chayv karis if you do so, and we're so used to eating chametz all year round, so there's a greater concern, and therefore the Torah itself, Hashem himself decided that we should have this prohibition of even owning chametz. So, what do we accomplish through our bedika and biur, that I don't own the chametz, I get rid of the chametz completely, that I don't own any of it at all? What if I end up finding chametz on Pesach? Does that retroactively undermine now my entire bedika? So the answer is no, because the Ran explains that I've established a chazakah. The house, if I cleaned it, I checked it properly, did the best I could, I happened to find chametz on Pesach, I forgot about it, so what do I do? If it's yontif, I cover it over with a kli, you're not allowed to burn it on yontif, but I burn it on Chol HaMoed. So if I burn it at the earliest moment I possibly can, I'm not going to violate owning chametz, and I stand, and certainly not retroactively, because I established a chazaka that the home is becheskas baduk, it has been checked. So, but the Gemara also says there is a halacha of bittul. Bittul is, the Mishnayos speak about bittul later in the Masechta, when a person doesn't have a choice to do bedika and biur. But the Gemara says that everyone who does bedika, like we do today, should also do bittul. What's bittul? Whether it means, according to some Rishonim, it means nullifying the chametz, whether it means declaring that the chametz is hefker, different opinions what exactly we're doing. We have, in our nusach, we have both Shonos, that it's Ka'afra Da'ara and it's Kehefker. We mentioned both of those. So that is the mitzvah of bit of nullifying the chametz. Now, if I'm already nullifying the chametz, and therefore I don't own it, so why do I need to do bidik at all? And so the answer is because even if a person does bittul, so bittul can only accomplish so much. After all, a person, yes, it's true, I can avoid owning the chametz, but if a person, we say, it's since it's talui b'machshavto shel adam, it's based on people's minds, their thoughts, are they really able to nullify this from their heart? If you have right in front of you a donut, and you say, this donut is like dirt, is it really like dirt? Is that what the person believes? Is a person now going to rescind this type of bittul? And once again, it's going to be chametz. So because of that, Rashi tells us that in the absence of doing bittul, or if your bittul doesn't accomplish anything, so then because you didn't have the proper kavana in mind, so then it's no doubt that your bedika and your biur are going to help you avoid bayar bal yamatza. Yes, bittul alone, midoraisa, bittul bal masagi, the Gemara says, midoraisa, I should fulfill, I should avoid bayar bal yamatza by just doing the bittul and the nullification, but I have to do the checking just in case, and the burning, just in case my bittul, a person is somehow not having the proper kavana during the person's bittul, and it changed his mind on his bittul, and maybe I'll think about eating it. So if I do that, I say, you know what, it's not dirt, I'd rather eat this, I think this is a donut, so then there's no longer bittul. This way you get rid of your chametz completely. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos claims that the purpose of bedika is not at all for the purpose of avoiding violating bayar bal yamatza. That is covered by bittul, no doubt. That's covered by bittul. Why do I do bedika? Because I'm afraid you're going to eat the chametz. That's a problem. So even if I do bitul, I'm concerned I may end up eating the chametz, and it's possible even Rashi understood that to some extent. But that is a machlokus between the Rishonim, what I accomplished with Bidika. Does Bidika help me avoid the din to Oraisa of Bayra Bal Yamatze, like Rashi? Or does Bidika, no, Bittel took care of that completely. I'm not worried about my Bittel, but rather the Bidika is a din to Rabbanon in order Shalo Yavola Ochlo, you don't end up eating the Chametz. So the Mishnah here says, Or Larbas, on the night of the 14th, we use the word Or, maybe to we like to use a positive word to describe something, even though it's nighttime, we want to start the Masechta off on a positive note. And the Gemara spends a lot of time trying to figure out how I know the word or means night. But there is an opinion of the Ravid who claims that we use the word or because the Bidikas Chametz should take place at the beginning of the night, maybe while it's still a little bit light outside, and we should not be pushing it off at all. So when do we do this? Or Labas, or Botkin is a Chametz, Laor Haner, we do this for the light of the candle. Now, Chametz is not us, or we'll learn later in the Masechta, until the middle of the day on Pesach, on Erev Pesach in the morning, or middle of the day, or maybe an hour before, 2 hours before, we'll see Machlokas Tanan. So why do I have to do my Bidika several hours before the night before? So the answer is, number one, the Gemara says, because people are home at night, and number two, or Haner Yafel Bidika, I'm supposed to use a candle. The Gemara derives from Psukim, actually, that I'm supposed to use a candle, and the candle work certainly is more effective at night. And therefore, we do the Bidikas Chametz at night, the night of the 14th. Kol makom she'ein machnisin bar chametz, ein tzarach bidika. Mishnah says, though, if you have places where you don't, it could be, you have rooms in the house, but you never bring chametz there. So there's no obligation for you to do Bidikas Chametz there at all. Then the Mishnah asks this question. V'lama amru shtei shuros ba'martef. Why did they say that you need to check the two rows in the cellar, in the wine cellar? So we'll see what the two rows are in the wine cellar in a moment, but we're just going to answer the question, why do you have to go down to the wine cellar and check the first two rows, whatever that means, of this wine cellar, but no more? So the answer is because Makom Shemachnisin Bo Chametz, says the Mishnah, because that is the place where people bring Chametz. So once again, since the Mishnah says, Kol Makom She'ein Machnisin Bo Chametz Ein Tzorech Bedika, so therefore, when it comes to the wine cellar, I only have to worry about the places where a person would bring Chametz in the wine cellar. Now, why would I bring Chametz in the wine cellar at all? So the answer is, in the middle of the meal, I realize I'm short on wine. I go down to the cellar. I'm not taking a barrel of wine from all the way to the back in the cellar. So I may be taking a bottle of wine from a barrel of wine from the front of the cellar. And I'm in the middle of the meal, so I happen to walk down with my bread in my hand and with my challah in my hand to get another bottle of wine, another barrel of wine. So we're afraid there may be chametz there, but only in the entrance way by the first few barrels or rows of barrels, as we'll see in a moment. So which are the barrels that we have to check? So which rows of barrels? So this is a machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and even within each opinion, there's a machlokes Rav and Shmuel, machlokes Amorim, what they mean. So we'll begin with Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai Omrim, Shtei Shuros Al Pnei Chol Hamartef. You have to check, Beis Shammai is more strict, you have to check for chametz the first two rows that cover the entire cellar. What are the first two rows that cover the entire cellar? So that this is a machlokas. So one opinion is like this. Just imagine you have the cellar is filled with rows. You have from floor to ceiling, you have barrels and barrels all across. So according to one opinion, what Beis Shammai requires is that the first two rows from floor to ceiling, that you're standing in front of the first row in front of you from floor to ceiling, you have to check all of those barrels if there's chametz behind them, and then the entire row, all of the rows behind those first rows, which from floor to ceiling as well. So floor to ceiling right in front of you, the first rows, and then floor to ceiling, the one right behind that. But the ones beyond that, you don't have to worry about. Any further into the depth of the room of the cellar, you don't have to check. That's one possibility of what Beis Shammai holds. The other possibility is, no, what it means is, shtei shuros al pnei kol amartef means the following. You check from floor to ceiling, the first row, all of the rows that are right in front of you, all of those barrels of wine, and then you check as well the top row that goes across the ceiling through the entire depth of the room. That would be al panei kol amartef. Those are the two rows. The one standing in front of you, and the one that goes across from floor to ceiling, and the one that goes from across the ceiling all the way that top row, and that's it. Uve silal omrim, shtei shuros sachitzonos, shehein ha'elyonos. The two outer rows, which are the upper rows. And here, too, we have a machlokas. Obviously, Beis Hillel's hold, you don't have to check as many barrels, but we'll see what that means. So one position is, you're not checking floor to ceiling, according to Beis Hillel. What you have to do is, you have to check the shura ha'elyon, the upper row, right? You're standing in front of the first rows of barrels. You have to check the upper row, right? The one right by the ceiling. And then the one below that. That's the two shuros. Hachitonos, Shein Halyonos. And the other opinion says, no, you check the top row by the ceiling and the one behind that by the ceiling. Those are the first two rows that you check according to Beis Hillel. Perek Aleph Mishnah Beis, Ein Choshishin Shema Gerera Chulda Mibayis Labayis Umimakom Lamakom. We don't have to be worried that maybe, you know, we did Bidikas Chametz. So you don't have to worry now, you know, maybe a weasel came, a mouse came, let's say, and you know what he did? He dragged a piece of Chametz from Mibayis Labayis from one house to another, meaning from the house that was not checked, already, to a house that was checked. Maybe that happened. Umimakam lamakam, or from a place to place. Let's say from a corner of the house that had not been checked, and he brought a piece of chametz to the corner that had already been checked. So then every time you check, you can't rely on it anymore. According to the Rambam, the concern of makom lamakom is maybe the chulda, the weasel, dragged it because of chametz from a house that you normally put chametz in, or a room that you normally put chametz in, to a room that you don't bring chametz in normally, which I know the first Mishnah says I normally don't have to check. Well, maybe now I have to check. I have to worry about the chametz being brought. That you don't have to worry about. Dimken, if so, if you're going to be concerned about that, mechatzah lechatzah, from one courtyard to another courtyard, maybe I have to worry about that. A courtyard I already checked. Maybe had chametz brought by a weasel from a courtyard that was not checked. Umeir leir, or from city to city, right? The city had been checked, or but another city hadn't been checked. They're a little bit lazy. They're doing it later. And he brought a piece of chametz here. That much we don't have to do. Why? Because ein ladov or so. Because there's no end to this. So obviously the Mishnah is not saying that I necessarily have established a chazaka. You can't establish a chazaka when there is a concern that, or a good concern that I've brought the chametz, that chametz could be coming from somewhere else. So the answer is, but ain't l'davar sof. At what point already are we going to say I have to be able to do bedikas chametz? So obviously we have to say that once I've checked the area, this is not should not be a concern of ours, and I can establish a chazaka even if this is a little bit of a concern. But of course, if there's chazaka, let's say I do know that it's been undermined, I do see a squirrel, I do see a weasel bringing a piece of chametz, or you have the kids are running around with bread all over the house after you've done the bedikah, of course, then I have to be concerned.